Good to have Joe Hansen here today, and of course he's with Rebecca Payne, and I heard them sing together toward the end of college last year on a Thursday when I spoke in the chapel service, and they were a blessing, and so I told them next time they come that they're together, be ready to sing for us. I think you'll enjoy this. Now, Joe's got a sore throat, but Joe with a sore throat is still a good singer, okay? So, Brother Hall, you come read, and then we'll enjoy the special tonight.
Turning your Bibles to Philippians chapter number 4. Philippians chapter number 4. We'll be looking at verses 6 through 9. I'll begin at verse 6. If you'll join me on the odd-numbered verses, we'll read responsively down through verse number 9. Philippians chapter number 4, stand with me, please. And I'll begin there at verse number 6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you that, as we sang a while ago, nothing is impossible with you. Lord, thank you so much for saving us. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you please be at the service now, be at the special music, prepare our hearts through that, but then be with preacher as he comes. Pray that we would listen to what you have. Give us a good remainder of the service. In your name we pray, amen. You may be seated.
One dark night down in Egypt, a fearful time had come for a young Hebrew boy he was, his father's firstborn son. With the angel of death soon passing through, it was hard to fall asleep, and one little lamb stuck in his mind as he lay there counting sheep. He wondered why the little lamb had to die, and why his blood was on the door. Through the wind and rain it still remains. He wanted to be sure, so he called out to his father with a trembling voice so scared, crying, Father, please, will you look and see if the blood is still there? And he said, Son, now don't you worry, for the blood is there to stay. The wind may blow and the rain may fall, but it just won't wash away. The blood will stand the raging storm. It's been applied with loving care. Safe, secure, you can rest assured that the blood is still there. Looking over all the damage the storm had left behind, a flood of endless questions and doubt had filled my mind, and the fear that gripped my troubled soul brought me to my knees in prayer, crying, Father, please, will you look and see see if the blood is still there. And he said, son, now don't you worry, for the blood is there to stay. The wind may blow and the rain may fall, but it just won't wash away. The blood will stand the raging storm. It's been applied with loving care. Safe, secure, you can rest assured that the blood is still there. Safe, secure, you can rest assured that the blood is still there.
Thank you, folks. That's a blessing. Amen. Good singing tonight. I think you guys have a future together. I really do. Y'all ought to stick together, don't y'all think? Amen. So that's good singing. Well, I like that. I like that song to begin with. That's wonderful. I wish we could take the pulpit away tonight and put a table up here like we have back in the conference room and forget it about it being preaching time and just let me talk with you like I would talk with you across the table, especially the kids tonight, the teenagers, the young people, but dads and moms and adults as well. So, but I just have something on my heart that I hope will end up being a help, especially to the youth and others. But I want to speak on doubling up with peace. Now, I want you to notice the very first phrase of verse number 7, where the Bible says, and the peace of God. All right? And then I want you to look at the last line of verse number 9, where the Bible says, and the God of peace shall be with you. So I want to double up with peace. That's what I want to preach on tonight, doubling up, or talk to you about doubling up with peace. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the security that we enjoy because our salvation is eternal. Thank you that the blood of the everlasting covenant will not fail us. And Lord, when we get older and we get to that time in life, possibly we're facing that river, crossing over that river, and Lord, sometimes the doubts do come and they nag at us. I pray that you will, your spirit will help us remember that the blood is still there. Oh, thank you for that good song tonight. And Lord, thank you for your word here. And Lord, you know my heart. I want to be a help and a blessing and encouragement to folk tonight. So give us your spirit's power and blessing for both speaker and listener, how we need it. Meet with us and may your presence be our portion tonight in Christ's name. And amen. Paul the Apostle lived in a disturbing world enveloped by wickedness. Sometimes we get the idea that we are the only people living in difficult days. But you know, friend, Nero was the emperor of Rome toward the end of Paul's ministry and his life. And history says that Nero was the one who ordered his execution, and Nero put a bunch of Christians to death. It's documented during his reign. He was an evil, wicked man. And Paul lived under his rule. Paul also often was served under duress in his ministry. When you read 2 Corinthians 11, we won't do it tonight, but if you read 2 Corinthians 11, there's a whole long list there of difficulties in prison, and in perils of water and perils in land, and it's shipwrecked and beaten. And I mean, he served under duress. You get a quick picture of how difficult things were sometimes in the Apostle Paul's ministry. So he's living in a disturbing world ruled by Nero. And his own ministry, his own personal ministry, is just inundated with all kinds of difficulty. And yet, in spite of these things, Paul spoke often of peace. I'll tell you something, brother. There's nothing like peace in your heart. Nothing like it. Nothing like it. You know, Paul began and ended several of his letters with a salutation and benediction of peace. I didn't realize that till I got to looking in the Scriptures, in the concordance, and looking to that word peace, and how it was showing up in the first two or three verses of the book, and in the last few verses of the book. It was like a, you know, when you write a letter, you have a salutation, dear so-and-so, and then you have a benediction, you know, sign it off, sincerely yours, or something like that. Well, he had that several times. Don't turn to it, but listen to this. In Romans chapter 1 and verse 7, and then in 15, chapter 15 and verse 33, Paul talks about peace. In 2 Corinthians 1 and verse 3, and then in 13:11, he talks about peace. 13:11, that's toward the very end of the whole book. In Galatians 1, 3, and chapter 6, 16. If you know a little bit about your Bible, these are all last chapters. So Galatians 1, 3 and 6, 16, he talks about peace. In Ephesians 1, 2 and 6, 23, he talks about peace. In Philippians 1, 2 and chapter 4, verse 9, he talks about peace. And in 1 Thessalonians 1, 1 and 5, 23, he talks about peace. In 2 Thessalonians 1, 2 and 3, 16, he talks about peace. So what is that? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 of his epistles, his salutation includes peace, and his benediction was about peace. So peace was something that characterized Paul's life. Even in the face of much turmoil, personally, in his ministry, if you let me say it this way, politically, under Nero and all that was going on, Paul somehow had peace characterize his life. Now I want to say, things aren't too different in our world today. Things aren't too different in our world today. As I said this morning, because we sang that beautiful hymn this morning, Like a River Glorious, is God's perfect peace. Don't you like the mental picture of that? Like a river glorious. Like a river. That thing just keeps flowing. Keeps flowing. Keeps flowing. It keeps it. That's how God's peace is. And it ought to be ours. Like it was the Apostle Paul's. And I said this morning, you know, stories and images, pictures of people being executed. I know we don't live in a barrel. I don't watch the news, but I get the news at my choosing online, and I see the excerpts. You know, I see the Shiites. I believe it's the Shiites marching the 250 Sunni Muslim men in their underwear out of town over there in Iraq and then, or Syria, I think it was, and then shooting them down, 250 of them, executed. And when there's pictures of people being beheaded by Islamic terrorists, our poor president, God help him. I don't know that I've, and I stood up and you say, you just got a bone to pick with him. Yeah, you're probably right. But I don't ever remember a time when leadership was in such peril as it is. It's just, we're a ship with no rudder. None. I never seen nothing like it in all my life. But we don't have a policy on. They're killing folks by the hundreds over there. It's unbelievable. And you see images of people being beheaded by Islamic terrorists. You know, it's certainly disturbing. It's disturbing. You know, and if it's disturbing for adults, like I said this morning, how much more so is it disturbing for teenagers and children? And parents, don't dismiss your kids' fears and your kids' anxieties as being silly and immature. Realize how it was when you were young and put yourself in their shoes. You haven't always been the confident, individual, mature man or mature woman that you are today. There was a day when your heart was full of fear. As a young person, you know, my wife, we were talking this week, some things I never thought about before. Her mother fled Nazi Germany. Her mother was over there under Hitler. And actually, they fled the Russian army. And so, they talked about that in their home. Their home, they talk about Hitler when she was a girl. And then, she knew her mother and her family had fled from the communists, the Russians. And if you remember back in the late 60s, early 70s, that was the big thing. Communism was going to take over the world. Going to take over the world. And she said, as a little girl growing up in that home, with all that talk of her mother coming out of Nazi Germany and fleeing the Russians, she said, as a little girl, her heart would get full of fear. Her heart would be full of fear. And I think we make a mistake when we just relegate our kids' fears and anxieties to just being silly and immature. Well, they weren't silly and immature when we were young and we faced those fears. And we need to be mindful of that. You know, there is great potential for them to hear an abundance of statements and news stories and overhear a group of adults talking. And when you add all that together, it can be overwhelming. Everything from the terrorist to the economy to the loss of freedom to you name it. And you know what? Let's not stick our heads in the sand. All those things are reality. They're reality. And yet somehow, it was reality in Paul's day. Nero wasn't a figment of somebody's imagination. Nero was a cruel emperor. And all those executions weren't somebody's, dream. That was going on. And so Paul, his head wasn't in the sand when it came to the disturbing events of his day, no less. And I'm sure it wasn't. But yet at the same time, he had learned how to have peace characterize his life. And Paul learned how to have peace. And in this passage here in Philippians chapter 4, we have some really beautiful language. I pointed it out to you in verse 7, and the peace of God. I like that statement. But then I get right down to verse number 9, and I read a statement I like better than that one, and that is, the God of peace shall be with you. It's a blessing to have the peace of God. It's a blessing to have God dispense peace to us. But folks, as His people, you and I can go a step further and have Him, who is the God of peace, the one whose character is peace, the one who is the essence of peace. He is the possessor of peace, the very source of peace. And it's one thing to enjoy the peace of God. Then that's great. Then you go a step further and you enjoy the God of peace. And you double dip, like I said this morning. It's doubling up on peace. And I want to tell you something. If there's ever a day and age when God's people need to double up on peace, it's now. It's now. Folks, the Hollywood entertainers are killing themselves. The people with money are killing themselves. It's time for up to double. It'd be kind of like this, Now, this is a fantasy. This is a dream. But let's say you were going to take a six-month tour of the world. And that was, you were going to go to cities and countries that you've read about. And there was you weren't going to spare any expense. And let's say that you had a relative or somehow through some strange relationship, you got hooked in with Bill Gates. And Bill Gates, founder of Microsoft, I don't know how many billions he gave away the other day somewhere. I read something quick about it. But, Bill Gates got to, you're talking about your trip around the world. And Bill Gates said, you know what? I want to do something for you. In fact, I'm going to give you a choice. I can write you a check. I can give you $100,000. Let's say more than that. You're going to go 6 months. I can give you $200,000 to take with you on your trip around the world. Or I'll just go with you. Now, which would you prefer? Personally, selfishly, I'd rather have the man of the billions than the $100,000 of the billions. I might decide to do something even more than I planned. And if he is with me, there's a good chance that he might finance that. And that's kind of an immature, silly illustration, friend. But his presence, now listen to this, his presence would probably be more advantageous than his gift. Does that make sense? His presence would probably be far more advantageous than his gift. Because when he wrote the check, gave you the gift, it'd be done. But traveling around the world, man, you might decide to do something wild and crazy fun. You might spend up that $200,000 before you're only 3 months into it. It's gone. But you got Bill Gates with you. His pockets are deep. There's an endless supply. Now, it's kind of the same way. The peace of God is His great gift, but the God of peace, it's probably more advantageous for us to have the God of peace than it is to have the peace of God. But I want to tell you something. Paul said with God, as a Christian, you can double dip. You can double up on peace. You can have both. You can have the peace of God, and you can have the God of peace. You can have the peace that God dispenses, and then you can have the presence of the dispenser. That's a no-lose situation right there. That's a win-win for the child of God. So I want to look at what Paul said here. How did Paul's life, how did Paul come to the place where his life characterized peace in the midst of a disturbed world? I mean, Nero is killing people left and right. And in a ministry sometimes that was filled with heartache and difficulty, how in the world, you know, we won't go there, but in the beginning of the book of Philippians, do you know where Paul, throughout the book, do you know where he writes this book from? Prison. And the word joy is used 18 times in the book. From prison. And Paul said, you know, in the first chapter, he said, you know, there's a fella out there who's preaching Christ, and he's not even really preaching Christ sincerely. The way he's preaching Christ, he's doing it just to add to my trouble. I'm in prison here in bonds, and he's preaching just to cause me heartache and grief. Paul said, I don't care. He said, if he's preaching Jesus Christ, I'll just rejoice in the fact that Christ is preached. I don't care about my situation. How does a man say that? I'd have been crawling the walls. I'd have been, you know, crazy. But the truth of the matter is, Paul had tapped into the double dipping. He had doubled up on the peace of God. He was enjoying the peace of God and the God of peace. And I just want to talk about, simple tonight, how he did this. And, you know, you're probably going to be disappointed because, as it is with most things, we get, you know, well, what big, unusual, unique key to double dipping on the peace of God and the God of peace. And it's not unusual. It's what you've always heard. It's right here in this passage. Let's look first of all, how did Paul enjoy the double portion of peace? Well, he had the proper approach. Look at verse number 6. Look at verse number 6. Here's the proper approach. Be careful for nothing. Now folks, that's either in our Bible or it's not. And there's probably not a person in here that can say, I live up to that. But we ought to work at minimizing it as much as possible. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. The proper approach. You see, how we approach life's difficulties, how we approach the very world we live in and all the anxieties that it throws at us, all the potential fears that it throws at us, how we approach that will determine if we enjoy the peace of God and the God of peace. And when I say life's difficulties, I mean all of them. I mean personal, political, local, national, world, personal, whatever it is. I mean all of it, but the whole ball of wax. And God said here, don't be full of care for anything. Instead, take everything to God in prayer with supplication. Do you see the verse there? The word nothing is used and the words everything is used. Don't be eaten up with worry and care for nothing. Be careful for nothing. But in everything, go to the Lord in prayer. Prayer is asking. Supplication is strong crying. And teenagers and kids, listen. If the news events of today disturb you and what you overhear, or your mom and dad may talk about it at the table, or you may hear even in a sermon that's preached from this pulpit or somebody else preaching. If something gets, or something happens in your home, or something happens at school, or just in life, and you feel your heart full of fear, listen, you get disturbed about it, tell it to the Lord. Listen, you say, well, it's just, there is nothing too small for God's attention. Do you know that we're told several times in the book of Proverbs, go to the ant. Now, if an ant doesn't escape God's attention, and he said, go to the ant and learn from it. Watch the ant. The ant. You know how many ants you've squished in your life? Just walking down the sidewalk? Little old bitty creatures. So I'm just minute creatures. And yet God knows those ants in full detail. And He knows so much about those ants and the detail of those ants. And He tells us human beings to go to study the ant because you can learn some things out of it. Now young people, listen carefully. If an ant who doesn't have a living soul, who is not made in God's image, if an ant has his full attention, how much more to you? How much more to you? You talk to God about everything. When you're fearful, when you're afraid, when worry or anxiety fills your heart, you talk to God about it. If things make you cry, that's okay. Cry to God about it. Because God is concerned and He's interested in you and He's concerned and interested in what scares you or bothers you. And I will say tonight, Paul said, you take everything that has the potential to cause you worry or fear or disturb you, you talk to God about it. That means if the image that you happen to see, the image of some person who, here's a guy holding a knife to his throat, talking about beheading him, if that bothers you, you talk to God about it. Well, I don't want to talk to God about that. Why not? He said, in everything, talk to God about it. Visit with your Heavenly Father about it. Talk to you. Now look, if you have a father in your home, an earthly flesh and blood dad in your home, you know, you can talk to him too. But you know what? Sometimes kids don't have a father. Or sometimes their father is unsaved. Or sometimes there's a man in the home who is even the biological father, but he doesn't perform as a father to his children. That happens too. He's the biological dad, but as far as being a dad, he's absent. He's gone. He's away. He's AWOL. So if you've got a dad, you can talk to your dad. But if you don't have a dad who's involved, if you don't have a dad who's saved, if you don't have a dad who's actively involved in your life, this is not just good preaching tonight, and I shouldn't be raising my voice, but I get excited about this. I can just talk to you across the table. You have a Heavenly Father. You have a Heavenly Father. And He said, there's nothing too small going on in your life that I'm not interested in. And when you're disturbed and you're bothered, you talk to Him. And if need be, you cry and let the tears come down. And then listen, this is critical. When you talk to Him about your fears and your worries and the things that disturb you, always be thankful before you end your talk with God. I pointed this out before. In verse number 6, there are three elements to this equation. He didn't say, in everything by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known to God and the peace of God that passes. He said, you put the prayer, that's the asking, the supplication. If you shed tears and cry, that's wonderful. But before you get through, you season that prayer time with thanksgiving. And if you'll put prayer and supplication, and then you'll remember to end it by thanking Him. The promise is that His peace that passes all understanding. Folks, how could Paul begin and end 7 letters with peace, living under Nero and going through ministry like he did? God's peace was dispensed to Paul. And he said, the way to get this peace is to pray and supplicate. But then before you finish, thank Him. Add some thanksgiving. And the promise is the peace of God will be with you through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to tell you something. You say, well, what should I thank Him for? Thank Him that you're saved. Thank Him that He listens to you. Thank Him that you can talk to Him. Thank Him that you've got health. Thank Him that you've got a roof over your head. Thank Him. Just thank you. I like what Matthew Henry said. I've used this before. Matthew Henry wrote those commentaries, did the commentary that most folks have in their libraries. And Matthew Henry said he was robbed one time. And he said he went back to his room and he wrote down 4 things that he was thankful for about the robbery. He said, number 1, I'm thankful because it was the first time I was robbed. He said, I'm thankful that number 2, even though they got all I had, it wasn't much. He said, number 3, I'm thankful that even though they got all I had, they didn't take my life. And then he saved the best for last. He said, number 4, I'm thankful it was I who was robbed, not I who robbed. Well, that's insight, isn't it? That's insight. You can find something to be thankful for. And I'm just saying, you know, sometimes, and by the way, it's not just good for the kids, because adults have fears and heartaches and anxieties. And, you know, kids, your parents may not show you. But like I said earlier, I doubt there's anybody in this church who could stand up and testify tonight that we live up to that phrase right there, be careful for nothing. I worry. Parents have them too. Adults have them too. And I want to tell you something. We got a Heavenly Father. You know, I've used this illustration before, but I don't want to wear it out. But it's so vivid to me and so real. When I was leaving, when Brindley had been born over in Albertville, France, and somebody paid for my wife and Mrs. Finn to go over. And then Joyce said, Terry, why don't you come? And so I flew over to France. She flew first. And then I flew over a couple days later and saw little Brindley there. And then my ticket, I came back before she did. She stayed 2 weeks. I stayed about 6 days. And so I flew over behind her, and then I left before her. And that's when Cherith had the appendicitis, and her mother was in France. She didn't obey that command right there when that was going on. I'll tell you that much. Be careful for nothing. She was worried sick, and rightly so. Okay, but anyway. So Ben takes me, I'm going to fly out early, so he takes me to the train station to catch the train to go to Paris. Now, they're leaving France to go to Madagascar. So I don't know how long it's going to be till we see them. And he and I are together, dad and son. We're driving to that train station, and I'm dreading it. I'm dreading those goodbyes. You know, Brother Woodward's, Becca and Micah McCurry went out east to work at Brother Grimaldi's place there in Ohio. And he called me the other day, and he said, man, he said, we just sent Micah and Becca away to Ohio. And he said, the first thing I thought about when they drove out the driveway is, how do you send kids to Madagascar? That's a long ways away, folks. I was dreading it. We walked into that train station and made sure we had everything we were supposed to have, and watching the clock, and it's time to get on the train, and the trains were here, and you went underneath the tracks that you accessed the trains from the other side of the platform. You went downstairs and under a tunnel and upstairs, and now you're on the other side of the tracks, and that's where you access the trains. And so we hug and linger in a hug and tell each other that we love each other. And then, you know, I walk to the top of the steps and head down the steps and look back, and, you know, he's got his hand in the air like this. And I go under the tunnel, I come back up on the other side of the steps, and I'm looking there, and he's gone. I got on that train, it was a little misty morning, got on that train, sat against a seat against the window, and pulled the coat over my head, 50 years of age, and I'm just, my heart's just broken, I'm weeping like a baby. That train's pulling down those tracks, I just pulled my jacket up over my head so nobody could see me. 50-year-old man crying like that. Boy, my heart was broken. My heart was full of fear and anxiety for him and his wife and the children. And I told you, it was as if God said to me on that train in my heart, I gave my son to leave home one day too. And boys, like the Holy Spirit of God turned over a tub of honey in my heart. And I began to thank God for Jesus coming and dying and going to the cross and saving me and for making our son a missionary. And do you know what happened on that train? The peace of God came. And I'm not just preaching tonight. I'm shooting straight with you. The peace of God came. I want to tell you something. It's amazing. People say sometimes, how do you do it? We don't think about it. It's what God's will is. God's choice. Oh, we miss them. Good grief. But I don't live with this cloud over my head day in and day out. I don't live every day with my heart full of fear and anxiety because of where they're serving over there. God's peace is our portion. I'm just simply telling you the first thing you do is pray. That's so trite. Give us something that works. He said, don't worry about anything, but pray about everything. Everything. And young people, nothing is too small for God's attention. That's the proper approach when fear fills your heart. Number two, proper approach. And I'm not talking about, you know, good night if parents, if the guy's coming through the front door, it's not time to pray. It's time to make him pay. All right? But I'm not talking about that kind of thing. I'm talking about these worries and fears. Number two. Number one is a proper approach. Number two is proper attention. Proper attention. Look at verse number 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, you know it here, honest, just, pure, lovely, good report, there be any virtue, there be any praise. Think on these things. The proper attention. By that, I mean your thoughts. What are you going to give attention to? What are you going to think about? What are you going to allow to run through your mind? You say, I can't help it. Oh, yes, you can. Oh, yes, you can. We're told to have a sound mind. That means a disciplined mind. You can control what you think about. There's a whole list here in verse number 8. And Paul says, be sure and give attention to these things. Things, the proper attention. And look at the first one. He says, whatsoever things are true. I wonder how much anxiety and care and worry is the result of thinking about something that isn't true. And that's where you got to be careful. Not everything that you hear on the news, not everything you hear. Folks, can I make a statement tonight? Not every email you get is accurate. Not every email. I get some crazy. There's a guy up north. He sends out like 8 and 9 at a time. And I'm fortunate enough to be on his mailing list. Amen. And I'd usually just delete. And I get some emails once in a while. I look at one of them, you know. It's the craziest thing I've read in my life. You know what? I'll forward it to Don Oswardy. I call him the Truthinator. That's what I call him. Don Oswardy is the Truthinator. Hey, Brother O, what do you think about this email? And 90% of the time, 9 out of 10 times, he'll write back and say there's not a shred of truth to that. Snopes. I don't know what it is. Okay, he's got all this stuff he does. I don't know what he does over there in Russia, but he's probably got access to things we don't have access to, you know. And so, but he'll come back, or he'll say something like this. That happened 4 years ago. And man, you read it and it's like, you know, those things have, they create such a state of panic. I don't want to put my card in the pump at the gas station. I don't want to use, you know, the ATM at the bank. I want to be careful if I see a empty bottle on the side of the road. I mean, all these emails, you don't want to breathe because there's something that's going to explode somewhere by you somewhere. You can't enjoy anything. You can't go to the ice cream store without being scared to death because some emails you come across. And if you do, if you see this, and if this is going on, and be careful, the guy's standing outside the car with his blinkers on, man. It's a trap. You know what I'm talking about? Whatsoever things are true, not everything you hear is true. Sometimes what we hear is false or it's exaggerated horribly. Whatsoever things are honest and just and pure, you know how much, do you know how much care and fear and worry is exercised on things that haven't happened, but we think they might happen? And because we think they might happen, we toss and turn and flip and turn and burn. Because it might happen. And Paul said, you've got to have the proper attention. You've got to get your mind disciplined. You've got to get your mind arrested. So much of our lack of peace is the result of improper attention. Lying in bed at night, you're wanting and reading, you're wanting and needing to fall asleep. You ever figure out, friend, that the harder you try to go to sleep, the worse it is. Got to go to sleep. That really helps. Got to go to sleep. And you know, and I do that sometimes, and I've told you before, my mind is like a pinball machine, ping, 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 and this thought runs over here, ping, and four more come out of that thought. And then one of them runs over here, ping, and two more come out of that. And I mean, it's like, nyum, nyum, nyum. Y'all know what I'm talking about? That's how it is. And so, in the Spirit of God finally says, you're out of control. You're out of control. I'm not embarrassed to say this. When the Spirit of God says that to me, I say, okay. And I think about a baseball game. You say, what? How it works, folks. I think about the stadium. I think about the crack of the bat hitting the ball. I think about the umpire. I think about the sounds of the ball, smack of the ball hitting the glove. I think about the buzz of the people in the stands and the guys selling the hot dogs and the popcorn, the Cokes. And I'm the catcher, I'm at the plate getting ready to bat, and here comes the ball, and zzz, I'm asleep. Now I don't think about the Cubs; that would be a nightmare. You've got to think about the right team. You say that's silly. That's silly. Thinking yourself to sleep about a ball game, that's silly. All right? What's more silly? Thinking yourself into sleep as you give attention to something wholesome and decent, or thinking yourself into a frenzy as you give attention to something unwholesome and indecent? Probably Islamic terrorists is not a good subject on which to think when you're trying to go to sleep. It has the same effect thinking of the Cubs has when you know that. Brother Montgomery, I'm sorry about that. And I'm serious as a heart attack, friend. You're going to have to get your mind under control. Get it under control. And the Spirit of God lives proper attention. See, I told you he's going to be disappointed. Oh, man, I wanted to hear something on how to get the peace, double dip in the peace, to get the peace of God and the God of peace with me. And you, all you say, Pastor, is pray and control your mind. No, I didn't say pray and control your mind. God said pray and control your mind. So I'm just telling you what he said. Proper attention, proper approach, proper attention. Your thoughts have to be right. Number three is proper action, proper action. I'm done. Verse number 9. Look at it. Those things which ye had both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. You say, what's he saying there? Can I tell you what he's saying there in two words? Live right. Live right. Paul said, obey the things you've learned by observation, you've received by instruction, you've heard by your ear, you've seen by your eye. Do them. I want something that works. Do them. Live right. Live clean. Be pure. Live holy. Ask God to help you live a sanctified, set-apart life. There's nothing that will destroy your peace like sin will and disobedience. Remember that peace characterized Paul's life. It was real important to him. In a world ruled by Nero, in ministry sometimes ruled by difficulty, Paul had the peace of God and he had the God of peace. He doubled up on the matter of peace. And so Paul took his life, and he said, God took Paul's life, and God said, here it is. Here's a model for the Philippian people. You've learned and received and heard and seen in Paul. Now you've seen from Paul and by Paul. Now do it. It worked for Paul. It will work for you. Obedience to God will help you have the peace of God. And the God of peace will be able to walk with you and me when we obey Him. Now you young people, your heart's all full of disturbing things and fear and anxiety, and then you got some little way where you sneak around at night and try to fall asleep listening to that rock music. I want to tell you something, you're not going to have any peace. You're not going to have any peace. I've told people more than one time, young children, young babies, babies having a hard time sleeping at night. Teenagers having a hard time sleeping at night. Find the Bible on CD. Oh, Alexander Skirby or somebody reading it. go in that room where those children are after they fall asleep. You got a little CD player, put it in there, turn the volume way down where it's just a whisper, and let that thing play all night. Let the Word of God fill that room. That'll help. That does the job, folks. It really does. Because God's in His Word. I'll tell you that right now. That's a powerful book right there. We don't give it its proper due. I'm telling you, that's a powerful book. And so do right. Live right. I mean, just live right. You kids, you want one of the best ways, proper action, best ways for you to have peace? Obey your dad and mom. You can't disobey your dad. Sass your mother and then expect God's peace. You're not going to have God's peace after you sassed your mother. Sassed your father. Treated them wrong. Obey your parents. Honor your parents. And the God of peace shall be with you. Paul said, proper approach, always take everything to God in prayer. Proper attention, get the thoughts under control, and proper action. Live an obedient life to God, and you'll double up on God's peace. The peace of God will be with you, passes understanding, and the God of peace will walk with you. Walter Baxendale was on a sightseeing tour, and he was on the plains of Waterloo. And he said that on the plains of Waterloo, there stood a great bronze lion statue. Great bronze thing. And it was made from the captured guns of Britain's foes in 1815. And he said this great big statue of this bronze statue of this lion said its mouth was wide open. And said he had a snarl, you know, snarling through his teeth. And it was caught in that pose for the statue, like he's snarling his teeth over the battlefield. And Baxendale said he got close enough to that statue that he noticed something quite interesting. Right in the mouth of that big old statue, with that old snarling lion's teeth, mouth wide open, you could hear it growling. Right in the mouth, in the bottom jaw, a bird had built a nest. And he said there was little twigs from the, you know, coming by the teeth there in the mouth. And he said, you get close enough and you could hear those little birds chirping. Contented, at rest, in the teeth of the lion. That's how Paul lived. He lived under Nero. Prisons, beatings, beating with rods. Paul lived in the teeth of the lion, the mouth of the lion. But he doubled up on peace. The proper approach, the proper attention, and the proper action. And kids, I say to you tonight especially, you can live with peace in the mouth of the lion. These are not easy days. But you can have the peace of God. And better than that, you can have the God of peace. You can double up. Get your proper approach. Pray about everything. You get your proper attention. You ask God to help control your mind. And then you get the proper action. You'll be obedient. Prayer, thoughts, obedience. We prefer some, you know, great mystical key that just falls out of the sky. Peace. And God said, pray, think right, and obey me. And you'll live at peace. In the mouth of the lion. Let's pray together tonight. Thank you for listening. Heavenly Father, speak to our hearts. I pray that something that was said tonight will be of help to your people. God, these are chaotic days. We don't deny that. But so did Paul live in chaotic days. God, would you come tonight in this message from your book and give our hearts peace. May we enjoy that double portion of peace that Paul enjoyed, the peace of God and the God of peace. May it be in our hearts and minds and keep us through Christ Jesus our Lord.